today on Real Radio.
Stop looking at yourself saying, oh, I'm not like them. The Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. God has saved you and the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And what he does with and through you is the way that he wants to do it with and through you. It's how he works.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Going Public Part 2. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do, and above all, to love the way Jesus loved. In part one, we learned that for the believer, the term going public means that what we believe about Jesus Christ is worth sharing. It's publicly setting in motion what the gospel declares to be true. And that is going to take keeping our heads in the game, staying well-grounded and encouraged in our thinking with little thought of ourselves. When we focus on our love for God and our love for others, sharing God's word to a lost and dying world will be a heartfelt and joyful experience. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God's love covers a multitude of sin. Like Jesus, our intent is to be the peacemaker and not to stir the fires of discontent. Jesus is patient and kind and keeps his heart in the fight. His eternal grace never retreats in the fight against sin, and he is always ready to forgive any offense. And now in his message called Going Public Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If today you're saying, I don't, you know, you don't know what happened in my life. Of course I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does, and this is how he's trying to reach your heart. Okay. If you say, I don't need to hear this, you have no idea what she did to me. God does. And he wants to set you free. And if you dig in and you resist him, apathy is going to creep into your heart. And it's like having cancer and you don't know. It will destroy you. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice the Holy Spirit's presence in your life will be manifested by acts of love. Watch everybody. I'll get ahead of myself, but it's worth it. Acts of love will be generated by the work of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, then the fruit of the Spirit is at work in your life. Listen, theologians, listen carefully. There's a list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There's a great list of them. And yet there's a strange statement in the Greek language. There is not the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is there? It doesn't say fruits. It says fruit singular. And a lot of very, very observant scholars would put it to you this way, and I like it. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is not kindness. It's not gentleness or self-control. You know the list?
Yes.
The fruit singular of the Holy Spirit, what's the first word? Is
love.
And from love flows these other attributes of love expressed. I love that. I love that because it's singular. It demands that love be focused upon. If you truly love someone, you're going to be kind-hearted toward them, tender toward them. You say, but I'm not tender. Look, I'm not a tender person by nature. I know it comes as a big shock to you maybe. But man, some of you are just super tender, and I'm really grateful. I'm not joking because we're a church. You know, we're a family. And people in a family, we're all different. If everybody was like you, that wouldn't be good. If everybody was like me, that would be nuts. It wouldn't work. But we're all different in the same body. Church. And so because of your love for God and God's love for you and the Holy Spirit in your life, and you take your Christianity seriously, it's important to you that you walk in love and that the fruit of the Spirit be manifested. How's that happen? Acts of kindness. My acts of kindness toward you are different than your acts of kindness towards me. Are you with me? It's the way that we are. And it's beautiful. Stop looking at yourself saying, oh, I'm not like them. The Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. God has saved you and the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. And what he does with and through you is the way that he wants to do it with and through you. It's how he works. Which makes up the total complexion of any local church family in the world. I think it's beautiful. I think it's absolutely awesome. But Jesus, being the great cardiologist that he is, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, this is terrifying. This is the Christian's dread. This is the Christian's fear. It happened, by the way, to a church of Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, great book. The church at Ephesus, awesome church. So busy, going in all kinds of directions, tons of ministries. Everybody knew about it. Looked great. Only problem is something had happened. And in my notes, by the way, I have Ephesus as a reminder because that's who it's written to by Jesus. And then behind that, I put in Chino Hills. And then behind that, I put in ministries that I love. I mean, not all of them. There's not room for that. But behind in my notes, so Ephesus, Chino Hills, I put Shadow Mountain. You know Dr. David Jeremiah's church? I love that church. I love him. And so think of these great works of God. Harvest. Great works of God. Can you imagine? No. What? That kind of shock? Ephesus. People would say, what? Ephesus? That was the church to go to. Yeah, you know what Jesus said about it? Verse 4. Revelation 2, 4, nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Yeah, you're a really busy church, but you made a left turn up there at about 900 miles an hour, and I fell out. And I'm back here about 100 miles ago, and I'm saying, you guys left your first love. Slow down. Pause. You've left your first love. Verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent. And do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand, your witness, from its place unless you repent. Wow, strong words. Jesus, go into the heart. And then the word cover, that love will cover a multitude of sins. The word cover here means to cover. Listen, it's very, very important. It means to cover by keeping from escalating. It's a brilliant word. Do I have your attention, everybody? Love covers a multitude of what? Sin. Love, it doesn't ignore the sin. It doesn't put up with the sin. It doesn't condone the sin. It covers it with this. Love does everything in its power through you and I to keep the sin issue from escalating. That's a great word. Don't throw fuel on the fire. That's what he's saying. In Christian love, from marriage, friendship to beyond, church, family, don't add fuel to the fire. Don't stir it up. Have this intent when we love that we want to mitigate, we want to stop this cancer of sin that will destroy someone. If you know someone is in trouble, a brother or sister, love mandates that you go to them privately and reach out to try to help them. Instead of us, listen, I think it's Walter Martin. I may be wrong about this, but Walter Martin used to say, Christians are the only ones who shoot their own wounded. Oh man, look at that guy. He did that. That guy did that. Hey, you see that? That guy did that. That's what you're saying. I'm better than him. I'm so insecure and messed up in my own Christian identity that when that guy tripped and fell down, look, he fell. I feel better about myself because he's the one that fell, not me. That's sin. That's mean. It's not love. No, when someone has fallen down, in fact, the Bible says, it's not going to be on the screens, it's coming out of my head. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, that you who are spiritual, you ought to restore a brother or sister who's fallen. Restore them in a spirit of meekness and of gentleness, lest you fall also, or lest you consider yourself. You're to reach out and to love them, not criticize them. You're to reach out to rescue them, not shoot them. It's very important. And so, listen to this. The thinking, I found this fascinating. I didn't know this before, that in the era that Peter had written, the Jews for centuries had a saying from Scripture. You know how we say things like, what are some of the things we say? Like, Maranatha, or praise the Lord. What are some of the things? Lord, hallelujah, the Lord's will be done, or, you know, whatever we say. They did that back then. And it was this. It was love covers. You say, wait a minute. I thought Peter wrote this. No, Peter didn't write it like you think. The Holy Spirit wrote it. And the Holy Spirit who wrote 1 Peter is the same Holy Spirit that wrote Proverbs 10, verse 12. And this is where it comes from. It's a remarkable statement. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Now you see it more clearly. You know what hatred does? Hatred does this. Hey, that guy, he's a problem. That guy, this guy, you know, gossip out of the mouth. When the body, the believers, the house of believers begins to bite and devour one another with words. Well, he had it coming. Nationally, big, famous pastor crashed last week. And we're all sick about it. Sick to the stomach. Sad. Sad for this reason. It gives the world ammunition to defame Christianity and to mock Jesus. You're tempted to say, well, who was it? That's mean. You hear what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so to hate is to stir it up. To love is to contain the damage, is to mitigate, is to keep it from escalating with the intent to rescue. Do we not need to practice this, people? Jesus put it this way, very simply. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. In church, there's peacemakers. I'm so glad of that. The Holy Spirit manifests that. Multitude, plethos, it's where we get the word plethora, a great number of sins. Not Peter's seven, but an infinite amount. By the way, it's true for us, isn't it? How much has God forgiven you? How much has God forgiven you just this morning when you got out of bed and you tripped over the kid's toy and, you know what I'm saying? He's good. He's so good. 1 Corinthians, listen, we're going to run out of time, but I want to give you this. To me, this just puts it all into view. It's 1 Corinthians 13, right? So follow along with me. Can you take the word love and give me a name, somebody's name out here?
Jack.
Wait, no, I mean, I didn't say my name. Dennis, let's use your name. Sorry. Dennis suffers long and is kind. Why is it so quiet in here? Because look, Jack suffers long and is kind. What's your name? Put your name in there. How far do you go? I don't get very far. But notice I do no damage to this verse if I say Jesus suffers long and is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not parade himself. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus does not behave rudely. Jesus does not seek his own. Jesus is not provoked. Jesus thinks no evil. Jesus does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but Jesus does rejoice in the truth. Jesus bears all things. Jesus believes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. Jesus, what? Never fails. I can't put my name in there. Go ahead and try. You think you're some hot stuff in the church? There it is. Put your name in there. You see how much we need the love of God? Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians, of all people, the Corinthians, they're the most goofed up church in the Bible. Did you know? How'd you like? Oh, I want to go to the church at Corinth. No, you don't. What a mess. But yet Paul displays to them the love of God. This is God's love toward you. So the next time you and I are tempted to say, hey, you know what? Or you always, if we love one another, we will be seeking to mitigate and to de-escalate sin. We all need to do this. We all need to exercise this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love. It's love without wax, love that doesn't melt. To each other as brothers and sisters, love each other deeply with all your heart. Or Peter would say, a hot heart, fervent. It's precious. Next week, we'll get into the rest of this. Well, let's pray for a moment. We have the time. Pray and ponder your own life as I do mine. I want to believe that I have no problem loving people. I have found it very easy, I think, to love strangers. But I think I deceive myself, because I also think about how those that I'm most familiar with could say of me, you need to be more loving in this area. Are you with me? Do you hear me, church? Wouldn't Lisa be the person most qualified to examine my life? It would be Lisa. Well, it would be the Holy Spirit, and then Lisa. And the same is true in your life. There's someone who knows the truth about you. And before we pray, listen. The opportunity for you and I to show the love of God is increasing. You must hear me. Do not grow weary at well-doing. Don't grow faint of heart. Don't retreat from opportunities to show love. California's a mess. And yet now we're hearing Robin and I, Lisa, we're getting emails and calls from people who've moved away. I get it. I get it. They moved away from the battle. They moved away from the problem to paradise. And they either found out it's not paradise, can't find a church now, or they've slipped into apathy. And so my challenge to my own heart is, Lord, don't listen to me. If I start spouting something off Jesus about my will being done, don't listen to me. Keep me in the fight. Keep my heart in the fight. Keep my head in the game. Because it's easy to quit. Winston Churchill said, it's always too soon to quit. And to fight, we're not home yet, church. And in my own heart, and maybe this is just me, but I find myself, for no reason at all, being grumpy. I might be grumpy, but it just might affect my attitude. You know attitude? Mood. You know mood. I don't like the way it sounds. Mood. And you know that you're in a mood when someone has to say, did I do something to you? Did something? What happened to you today? Do you know that? Because you know what we say? I had a bad day. It was a rough day. And instead of taking the high road of deciding to love and to forgive and to show acts of kindness and, right, these things, we defend. Well, you know, if you wouldn't have, and we're not loving. So, Father, I pray that in my own life, Lord, I don't hate anybody, but I have certainly been of an ill temper or mood. And the temptation to justify is, well, I had a headache, didn't have coffee, he got in my way. I gave you some of mine, you give me some of yours. And we get grumpy. And we don't mitigate the moment. We don't de-escalate the issue. So, Father, we pray together as a Christian church and as each individuals, Lord, make us more loving. We're, by your grace, we are a loving church, but more, 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 Jesus, more, more in my life, more in our life. And Lord, many are still trying to clear the first hurdle of this morning regarding that word forgiveness. Lord, may your grace extend into our hearts the mercy and the gift and the grace of forgiveness towards others. And today, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we put that person between us and your throne, O God. And they now become our ministry of love. Because in all honesty, Lord, I cannot have a deep relationship with you if there's something unseemly in my heart toward another. So send your healing power. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for him dying for our sins. Thank you, God, for him being resurrected from the dead. Thank you for salvation that's in Christ and in him alone. It's in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Going Public, Part 2. We're glad you joined us today, and what a game changer knowing that it's not about us, but it really is about Jesus Christ. Going Public, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, one thing we've learned through Peter's writings is how much God really loves us and how much he wants to have a close personal relationship with all of us who've made him the Lord of our lives. That's why it's so important to start the day with prayer and a verse from Scripture. It's also why Pastor Jack has devotions right there at his website that you can tap into. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a specific verse from the Bible and a personal story from Pastor Jack that relates to that verse. There's a new one each week, along with previous devotions for daily inspiration. Again, you'll find devotions on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or right there on our Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access anytime, anywhere. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the Donate tab. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.